Portion of scripture found in the book of 2 Timothy. In this particular book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, I believe it's a book that the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, giving him some instruction in his preaching. And so it's sort of like the way the New Testament church began was Christ came, lived his life, went out to Bethany, ascended up into heaven, gave his apostles some instructions as to what to do. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then other preachers began to be ordained by the church. And, of course, Timothy was one of those preachers. And we have the instructions that Paul wrote to him in these two books, 1 and 2 Timothy. And it's a great thing. But as one particular scripture that I want to take, it's found in chapter 4, and I'll read the first verse and the second verse. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And then in verse 2, he said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, whenever I think of that instruction not only was to Timothy, but that instruction is to all of God's called ministers, whether it's me, Brother Will, or any other minister called of God to proclaim the glorious riches of Christ and Him crucified. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Now, when I hear that exhortation to preach the word, I think of, you know, you can get awful confused in the scriptures if you don't recognize that sometimes when it says the word of God, it's not always talking about just the written Word of God. There's three aspects of the Word of God, the way I see it, Brother Will, and that is, there is this spoken Word, which is the Gospel, how that Christ Jesus came. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried in Joseph's borrowed tomb according to the Scriptures. And on the third day arose again according to the Scriptures. Now that's the Gospel. There's a definition found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that gives that as a definition of what the Gospel is. And even though the Gospel entails many other instructions for God's children and how they should live their life and follow Christ here in this world, that's the main theme of every Gospel sermon, how that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That's the Gospel, and that's the spoken Word of God. Then there's the written Word of God. This book that's open before me, the King James Version of the Bible. And I'll say this about the King James Version. You know, there's lots of other revised versions that's out there. They call RVs, which they call revised versions. I say they got the RV right, because if you spend too much time in them, you'll reverse your vision. So don't spend too much time in anything other than the King James. If you don't understand it, you go to the Lord and you pray for understanding, and you'll find the Lord will answer your prayer and give you more understanding. So that's the way it works. So we got the spoken Word, which is the Gospel, and then you got the written Word, which is God's holy, inspired, and infallible Word. And the Scripture says of it, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you see, you have the spoken Word, the written Word, and then you have the living Word. And you better be awful careful about reading the Scriptures, because sometimes it says the Word of God, it's talking about the living Word. What is the living Word? That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And you know, you can get some ideas about what this written Word can do, or the spoken Word can do, because you're reading something about what the living Word can do and does do. So we have to be careful about that. You know, the Scripture says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And then a little later on, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So we need to be careful when we're reading this book that we don't confuse the living Word with the written Word and the spoken Word. But you know, when you just take it all in its context, they're really, in a sense, one and the same, because I'm up here speaking to you the Gospel. I'm speaking to you the spoken Word of God. I'm speaking to you from the written Word of God, but I'm speaking to you about the living Word of God. That's what it's all about. That's what every time Elder Martin's up here, every time I'm up here, I'm preaching to you from God's holy Word, the spoken Word, about the living Word. So here, the apostle tells this young preacher, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And doctrine. So it's very important that we understand that instruction to this young preacher, Timothy. You know, going back to the Gospels and thinking of what some refer to as the Great Commission, and I've heard some preachers say this about the Great Commission, that Great Commission was only to the apostles. And what they're talking about, that scripture that says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I say, my personal view is, that's not just to the apostles, that's to us preachers of today. Does that mean I've got to go to South Africa to preach the gospel? No, I'm right here in Cartersville, in White, Georgia, at Macedonia Church, preaching the gospel. Last Sunday, I was up in Dunlap, Tennessee. I was preaching the gospel. I'm going where the Lord leads and directs me to go and preach. That was the same thing the apostles did when they received those instructions. They went about preaching the gospel. The reason some take that position is because of the error that's used in that it's necessary for men to go preach the gospel, for men to hear the gospel and respond to it and believe and become born again and go to heaven. Well, I'm not preaching that part of it. I'm telling you, though, I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to tell you what Jesus did for you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he arose again according to the scriptures. Yes, Jesus did instruct his apostles to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And then it went on from there, and we'll find it written in the book of Acts that they went on from there and followed the instructions that the Lord had given to them, and they went and preached. And we can find some of those scriptures in the book of Acts, and we'll go over a few of those. We won't have time to go over all the different situations that I could cover this morning from the book of Acts, but we want to take a look at a few of them, what they were doing. They were following the Lord. They were going unto all the world, wherever the Spirit led them to preach the gospel. In the book of Acts, we'll find in chapter 3 that Peter and John were doing just that. They were going about to preach the gospel. And we'll find chapter 4 of the book of Acts that they went and they were preaching that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. That's what they went there for. They were preaching to the children of God the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says in chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were doing as Paul instructed Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And here they were, John and Peter, preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, why did it mention the Sadducees here in this particular instance? Because the Sadducees, you see, were a sect of Jews that did not believe in the resurrection. And they didn't like them preaching the resurrection of Christ. They wanted to shut that doctrine down. And you know, I find even among people today, and it's sad to say, even among some primitive Baptists, they want to shut down the resurrection. They want to say there is no resurrection. I'm telling you, I used to say third day. No, it was actually the fourth day, because he was in that grave 3 days and 3 nights. And if he was in that 3 days and 3 nights, it was the morning of the fourth day that he came forth from the grave. Yes, Jesus came forth from that grave. And Peter and John were going going about preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Sadducees came and they were grieved because of what they were preaching, because it went against what they believed about it. And it says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. You know, that's one thing that me and Brother Will have a great privilege. We can come here this morning and not worry about somebody coming in to arrest us for being here to preach the gospel. I'm afraid that it may come a day, maybe not in our lifetime, when that won't be allowed. If you're not preaching what the government wants you to preach or what they want you to hear, then they may come in and shut you down. They may come in and arrest us and take us out for preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the apostles here were doing as the instructions were to the young preacher Timothy. They were preaching Jesus Christ resurrection. Now we want to turn over to the book of Acts chapter 8, and we'll see here a scripture where the apostle Philip, he went down to Samaria, and when he went to Samaria, he preached Christ. Now Samaria was a place where they were Jews, but they were sort of a different set of Jews. They weren't well accepted among the Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem, but here Philip went to Samaria. You remember Jesus one time said, "I must needs go through Samaria." And when he went to Samaria, he met the woman at the well, and he talked to her about this living water. You remember all of that. You've read that and understand it. But here, Philip went to Samaria to preach the gospel. And what did he preach when he went to Samaria? He preached Christ. He did as the apostle instructed Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and all doctrine. And so we'll find here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, it says there, beginning at verse 2, "Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." Now the reason that said that is because if you go to the chapter before that, you'll find the preacher named Stephen who was preaching, and they didn't like Stephen's preaching, and so Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. How good we have it this morning, Brother Will, that we can stand and not fear of being stoned to death for preaching this gospel. But Stephen was stoned to death, and Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, he was there when they had stoned Stephen to death, and they were going to bury Stephen. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What was Philip doing? He was following the instructions of his Lord that said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." So he went to Samaria. I believe he was directed by the Holy Spirit to go down and preach to those Jews in Samaria Christ Jesus our Lord. Preach his death, burial, and resurrection. So Philip went down to Samaria where he preached the gospel. And then one other scripture, and I'll turn it over to Brother Will to preach to you this morning. Philip, the same apostle, was directed by the Holy Spirit to go out unto a man that had been to Jerusalem to worship. That man was called the Ethiopian eunuch. Now the Ethiopian eunuch, I believe, was a child of God before he ever went to Jerusalem. Why do you say that, Brother Heron? Because he went there to worship the Lord. He went there to worship God. And alien sinners do not have a desire to go somewhere and worship. So the eunuch had been to Jerusalem. Now this was a very important man. He was the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia, Candace. He was her treasurer, and he went to Jerusalem to worship. And after he had been to Jerusalem and been to the temple and been in the worship service, he had the book of Isaiah with him, and he was going back to Ethiopia in his chariot. And he had stopped his chariot and was sitting there reading the book of Isaiah. And so the Lord knew that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And so the Lord directed Philip, put it in his mind, and had him go down to where the Ethiopian eunuch was. That's following the instructions Paul writes to Timothy: preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's doing as Christ told his apostles: preach the word, preach the word, go into all the world and preach the word, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So here Philip was following the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it says there in verse 26, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way which goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now that's what the preacher is. That's why God's called Brother Martin to stand up here before you. You spend some time in the Word during the week, and you read something and you don't understand it, and you get here, you just don't understand why, but the Lord put that on Brother Martin's mind, and he tells you what that is, and you get some understanding. That's what it's all about. That's how it comes about. That's why we ought to be at church. We ought to be here. It's the way the word understanding of the Word of God comes. It's here a little, there a little, and it comes a little at the time, but we do it by reading and studying and hearing the gospel proclaimed. So the Holy Spirit had directed Philip, and he said, understandest what thou readest? And then the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him, and the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And then the eunuch answered. Now he was reading that from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And if you go over there to the 53rd chapter, you'll find almost the same two scriptures there is 32 and 33. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He said Isaiah was talking about Jesus, the Messiah, the coming King, the coming Savior, the one that would come to redeem all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. Yes, Philip began at that same scripture in Isaiah, and he preached unto him Jesus. What was he doing? He was doing just exactly as the Apostle Paul was instructing the young preacher Timothy. He was preaching the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and all doctrine. I thank you for your attention. Now pray for Brother Martin as he comes to preach to you.
Oh, for a breeze of heavenly love to Amen.